ॐ सहनावतु सहनौघ्नतु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
विचार चैप्टर 3 वर्सेस 11
देवान् भावयतानीन देवान् भावयतानीन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत देवान् भावयतानीन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत इष्टां भोगान् विमो देवाः इष्टां भोगान् विमो देवाः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैतत्तानप्रदायैव्यः तैतत्तानप्रदायैव्यः यो भुङ्क्ते तेन एव सः यो भुङ्क्ते तेन एव सः इष्टान् भोगान् हि वो देवाः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैतत्तानप्रदायैव्यः यो भुङ्क्ते तेन एव सः यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापाः भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापाः ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापाः ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वित्ति कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वित्ति ब्रह्माक्षरसमुद्भवं ब्रह्माक्षरसमुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वित्ति ब्रह्माक्षरसमुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम्।
Turn up to verse 11 of chapter 3, isn't it? Verse 11 says, nourish the gods with this, with this means with yajna, and may those gods nourish you. Nourishing one another, you shall attain the supreme good. Nourishing one another, you shall attain the supreme good. Arjuna, if you remember, asked for what is Shreya, what is that which is good for him. He asked for what is good for him and not what is pleasant for him. Therefore here Lord Krishna says, yajna activity alone is good for you. This message is given to the entire universe through Arjuna. Even though the question is asked by Arjuna, all that Krishna is saying here is, you can only evolve through ये क्या है? वर्स नंबर 9 ही ऑलरेडी सेड, एनी एक्शन अदर देन दोस परफॉर्म फॉर द सेक ऑफ विज्ञान बाइंड्स यू. Is that action which you do for the sake of yajna that it liberates you. So if you want to liberate, you must perform yajna activity. Thus by doing selfless action or this yajna action, you dissolve the bulk of your desire. You attain chitta shuddhi. Your thoughts get purified, your mind gets purified. When your mind is purified, then you are qualified to gain jnana. And then slowly through reflection you can establish your jnana permanently. So for chitta shuddhi you must perform yajna activity. So he said, if you do yajna activity, you will nourish gods, the devas, the manifested powers. You will take care of the ecology. When the ecology is taken care of, the gods, the manifested power will bless you back with good things in life. So he says, nourish gods and gods will nourish you back. Thus nourishing one another, you shall attain supreme good. In this portion, he is talking about actions that is done for the welfare of the world. Right? Not selfish action, but selfless action. Let's do verse number 12. Ishtam bhogam hi ho devaha, Ishtam bhogam hi ho devaha, Dasyante yajna bhavitaha, Dasyante yajna bhavitaha, Taitattana pradhayevyaha, Taitattana pradhayevyaha, Yokumte stena evasaha, Yokumte stena evasaha, Ishtam bhogam hi ho devaha, Dasyante yajna bhavitaha, Verily, the gods nourished by sacrifice will give you the desired enjoyments. He who enjoys what is given by them without having offered to them is indeed a thief. In verse number 12 and 13, these are very important verses. Here, Lord Krishna is talking about the entire range of human beings. The entire range of human beings come under three categories: Sattvika, Rajasika, and Tamasika. In verse number 12, he is talking about Tamasic individuals, Tamasic people. He says, Tamasic, the lowest category of people, they only think in terms of what they can get and zero thought about giving. Their only thinking is filling themselves without contributing. So those who have this sort of mentality, who eats without producing, he calls them stena eva saha. Means they are, that person is a thief. What does the thief do? He takes from people who have worked and they made their wealth. He goes silently and grabs it from them without their knowledge. And will a thief be peaceful? He can't sleep either during day or during night. He is constantly terrified that he might be caught. So a tamasic individual is like a thief who will definitely not have peace of mind. He is somebody who receives without the thought of producing, without the thought of giving back. Absolutely zero production from the side. He already explained to you that grasp ashrama is a karma pradana ashrama. It is an ashrama to pay back. I told you already, right? Brahmacharya ashrama is when you take, you receive. And that receiving is to consolidate your personality, to strengthen yourself. Because you must be strong to be able to give. If you want to help others cross the road, you must have the eyesight. So therefore, first you need to consolidate your self with knowledge. Having thought, therefore, the society pays for you. The parents, everybody helps you. Then once you have consolidated yourself, now the next ashrama is Grihastha Ashrama, which is the ashrama of repayment, ashrama of giving, not ashrama of taking.
If you don't understand this, then a lot of people, having misunderstood this, they get into grasa ashrama an idea of thinking. So therefore, he says, one who eats without producing, one who enjoys the benefits given by the gods, benefits given by the natural laws, benefits given by the manifested powers, having taken them all and enjoyed them all from the society, one who doesn't pay back at all. It's an one-way traffic as business concerns. Simply grabs, never gives. There is not even thought of taking. Such a person is the lowest category, tamasic individual. He is a thief. Thief meaning he is never away. Right? He is constantly terrified that he might be caught or exposed and punished. So he never enjoys, but he grabs from everybody. Like a parasite. Simply indulges, takes it from others. So this is really the gods, nourished by the sacrifices, will give you the desired enjoyments. So there are so many people working, and therefore, for example, it rains. Now, due to rain, there is productivity. You are getting the benefit. Now, you do not have the thought of paying back at all.
You can plant your trees.
Whatever. Yeah, planting trees, anything for the matter. You do not have this attitude. You don't even have this attitude of gratitude. Forget about action of gratitude. Right? Even the thought is not. I'm blessed by this. Is it not my duty to pay back? Even the thought is not there when you are a tamasic individual. Tamasic person is one who is soaked and sinked in ignorance. So he doesn't even realize these things. He is in total darkness. So he says, he who enjoys what is given by them without having offered to them. Without having offered to them, he is indeed the lowest category. See, in other words, bhakti, we keep talking about bhakti. Now what is bhakti? Bhakti is awareness of all that is being provided to you from the time you are born, and as a result of which you have the attitude of gratitude, which manifests itself in and through your actions. This is bhakti. But if you do not have that attitude of gratitude, if you do not have the awareness of everything that you have received, and yet you call yourself spiritual, what sort of spirituality is that? You don't become spiritual simply because you read a text or go to a mandir. Only if you have this awareness, then you become spiritual. Swami Chinmayananda says, your body, mind, intellect, etc. are the gift of the Lord. You have this body, you have this mind, you have this intellect. This is a gift to you. What are you doing with that gift? You are placed in a family due to certain punya that you have done. Some of us need not worry about our at least our financial needs. But what are we doing with the gift? You understand? If you are not understanding that this has been provided to you and use that for the welfare of the world, and when you use it for the welfare of the world, you are part of it. Not that you are excluded from it. So then you also become a thief. Are you with me? If you start having the attitude of only taking, taking, grabbing, grabbing, then you become a thief. And society doesn't want the thief to survive for long. They want to catch him and put him behind bars. So it's another interesting thing. What are you doing with these things? That has been blessed. You have been blessed with certain things, right? What are you doing with them? You can sit down and constantly grumble.
what you do not have. In other words, you are only asking. Today prayer has been reduced to beginning. If you start focusing on everything that has been provided to you, then you say, with all this, if I am asking, immediately 12th verse of chapter 3 will come to your mind. You will say, even if you don't remember the entire verse, at least remember that stena eva saha. Just this thing. Saha means he. Stena means thief. Eva means alone. He is thief alone. He is thief only. He is said to be a thief. If you remember that, then you will not develop an attitude of taking. On the contrary, you will develop the attitude of giving. A company, an organization is strong when in the balance sheet what the company owes to the bank is less or zero compared to what it has made. How much it has earned. So your personality will also be strong and peaceful if you have this attitude. So it is not belonging to the category of has at the external level that matters. But you must belong to the category of had at the internal that matters. You may have many things outside, but if you inside feel I am a have not, then you can have. You may not have anything, yet if you inside feel I have, you will be happy. So it's a question of inner adjustments. It's not having so much outside. There are so many people having so much outside still unhappy. There are many people who do not have anything outside, yet they are very happy. How is this possible? It has to do with the inner attitude. When you soak yourself in knowledge, when you reflect on this knowledge, then you say that I belong to the category of have within me. I may belong to the category of have without, I may not. But definitely inside I am always somebody who belongs to the category of have. I think it is Samuel Coleridge who says, for him in vain the envious is in soul who bears eternal summer in his soul. The seasons come and go. But if somebody who is eternally having summer in his soul, he is not affected by that. So the outside things can change, but inside you should be the person who is constantly focused on everything that is provided to you from the time you are born. Somebody told me that somewhere they have made a calculation about how much a human body is worth while alive. I believe it's something like 240 crores. You know how they say, like if you give your kidney for transplantation, so much money is given to you. Right? If you have to replace a tooth, implant, one, 32 into so much, you know, if you calculate like that, hair transplantation is the maximum. So if you start calculating like that, then they say so much growth you already have. How much does it cost for an implant?
Head.
No.
Somebody is a ceramic or an enamel stroke, it's not. I have no idea.
Let's say about 30-40% is minimum.
No. Less.
I don't think so. I think it's I'll find out from my wife if you want to. 30-40,000
means? No, it's not even tooth. They put a artificial tooth.
Yeah, there is a grain in that also.
Yeah, there's different
types. Like you can start from 30,000 to 20,000. Anyway, let us say 30,000 rupees. Right? 30 to 32 is
about. Makes the difference. 32 is. Nine, 90 something, 90,000.
1 million rupees. Every time you laugh, you are exposing 1 million rupees.
They say million dollar smile.
So that's what it is. So in other words, if you understand that nature has provided you, and you still asking, then you are a thief. One eats without producing. Stena evasa. In any relationship, you must think in terms of what I can do, not in terms of what I can get it. And if you can develop this attitude, there will be not even a single moment in your life when you will be unhappy. So, verily the gods nourished by the sacrifice will give you the desired enjoyments. So, if you stop producing, what will happen? Slowly everybody will start following you. And then more and more tamasic people will take over. Then your contributions will reduce. When your contributions will reduce, then you will not get from the gods. Then there will be lot of killing, death, mistrust, everything will start, disharmony. So therefore, a society will be rich where it is filled with people who think in terms of pain. So he says, verily the gods nourished by sacrifice. They are doing their bit. Nature is doing its bit. Therefore you remember to pay back. Life is to pay back, not to receive. So this is tamasic. He is talking about tamasic people in this verse. Verse number 12. In 13, he is talking about sattvic and rajasic. Two categories of yajna shishtashina santaha, yajna shishtashina santaha, mujyante sarva kilvishaihi, mujyante sarva kilvishaihi, gunjate te dvagam papaha, gunjate te dvagam papaha, ye pachantyatma karana, ye pachantyatma karana, yajna shishtashina santaha, mujyante sarva kilvishaihi, gunjate te dvagam papaha. The righteous people, sattvic people who eat the remnants of sacrifice are free from all sins, from all papas. One who eats the remnants of sacrifice, they pay back and whatever comes they accept as prasad and enjoy whatever comes as a prasad. First their focus is giving, then whatever comes they accept it. Next category is, but those sinners, means who are agitated mentally, who cook for their own sake, eat sin, selfishly. They are active, they act, but the selfish motive of giving back. See, you are told, pay back, God will pay you back. Then you say, okay, if I give, then I will get back. With that expectation that you do, you are doing it as a business, not as a giving. Right?
To give and take.
Exactly. So if I will give, then they will give me back. With this expectation, if you do, anybody who has expectation, the expectation spoils the game of life. Preparation will aid the game of life. Expectation will spoil the game of life.
Sorry, preparation
will aid the game of life. It will help you to be prepared for the uncertain thing to happen. Anything can happen in life. You should be prepared internally. But to sit and expect it to happen, it will spoil the game. What is spoiling is your expectation. So when a rajasic dweller acts, his action is coming with his expectation. right? He sowed the seed of action, but with tremendous result in mind. So therefore, he is constantly agitated. He does his action, then he is constantly thinking, I hope I'll get the result, I hope I'll get the result. And when the result comes, he is not happy, he wants more. You understand? There is constant expectation, and that expectation spoils his party. Whereas in the case of a sattvic person, there is zero expectation. Also, a sattvic person goes one mile ahead. Firstly, he acts with no expectation, only with the thought of giving, only with the thought of paying, only with the thought of doing his bit. Then whatever results come, whatever has come as his benefit, even that he shares. This is even one step ahead I am talking about. He shares the prasad also. You know, culture is that when you sit to eat, they say you should not eat without a guest. You should look for a guest. And you must first feed the guest. Then afterwards, if there is something, then you partake of it. If you talk about those things nowadays, they will look at you like a nutcat. But this is what the culture is. You don't eat without sharing. So, even after doing such a highly sattvic action, one step ahead is whatever comes, even that you share. But we have this tendency of holding for another 5 or 10 generations. And then even after that you are still complaining. Even after that if you are complaining, remember these verses, even if you forget the entire Bhagavad Gita. Remember verse number 11. Tena eva saha. And then in this verse it says, one who eats the remnants of sacrifice, yajna shishtashina santaha, mucchyante sarva kilpishat. One who cooks for the Atma Karma means selfishness. I am doing this work for giving something for myself. With that thought when you do, then you come under the category of Rajasika. He cooks, but he eats sin. Constantly acting, but terribly stressed. And to say this, you find in this world one set of people inactive and therefore not productive and are also agitated. Their agitation is only temporarily masked in the name of peace, but their agitation is there as a potential, because the desire is there as a potential. Another set of category of people, they act and they are simultaneously tremendously agitated. They lose their peace of mind. So why is it? It is not the action that is giving you the lack of peace. So people generally believe, oh, if you are running a business with 5,000 employees, obviously you will have stress. It's normal to feel stressed. Or you don't have to do anything, therefore you are not stressed. Vedanta says, stress has got nothing to do with how many people work for you or how many hours you work. It has to do with your attitude. It has to do with your attitude. So therefore, it's not the action, but the attitude. So therefore, remember these points. One who cooks only for himself, he suffers. But one who puts keeping the welfare of the world in mind, does it as a yajna, does it as a sacrifice. And then whatever comes, that also he shares. And that person is peaceful inside, he is peaceful outside, he is happy, he is productive, he is prosperous. He is the one who is actually rich. How do you define richness? Okay. How do you design a desire?
You don't lack. Don't feel like you lack.
When your desires are more than your assets, you are poor. When your desires are more than your assets, you are poor. When your desires are less than your assets, you are rich. If you want to put it there, put it another way, if wealth or a lack is there in your mind, you are poor. When your stomach is empty, then you have the thought of food. When your stomach is full, no thought of food. Similarly, if you are rich, then there should be no thought of wealth when you are acting. If you are acting with the thought of wealth, it shows that you are poor. So, all these are beautiful verses which is telling us that it is the inner adjustments that makes you rich. It is the inner adjustments that gives you happiness. It's a beautiful poem called Pineapple on the Bee. The concluding portion of the poem, the poet says, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a bee. The last two lines talk about Sarvikaro. Those whom truth and wisdom lead. Wisdom means I have been provided with so much from the time I am born. You are not paying your oxygen bill. You have to pay your oxygen bill. How much it will come to? You are not paying for the gravitational force. So many things are there working for you to survive. Are you paying for all of them? You pay service tax for certain things. But who is paying the service tax for the earth to revolve around the sun? You understand? So if you constantly think like that, so many things, you owe your existence to the totality. You understand that, then what attitude will come in you is what is portrayed in that bhajan that we see in the end of the bhajan, the aarti. Tera aat chuko arpan kya lage mera ho jai jagadish hare tan man tan sab tera sab kuch hai tera swami sab kuch hai tera. He said that. Really good. That's the point. So if you have that attitude, that's what he's saying here. So if you really understand that, then you act in this world as a trustee, not as a owner. As a trustee, not as a owner. So sattvic person eats the remnants of sacrifice. So when you read this, he eats the remnants of sacrifice. Is the emphasis on eating? Is the emphasis on sacrifice in this sentence? He eats the remnants of sacrifice. In this sentence, where is the emphasis? In sacrifice. Remnants of sacrifice only he eats. So first the focus is in sacrifice. You mean the tamas and the other people. Those who cook for their own sake. So the emphasis is on their own sake. You must read these things carefully. So if you do an action, if your emphasis is on what I will get, then you will be an agitated, unhappy person. If you have emphasis on
sacrifice in any relationship, if it is on the other person, what I can do for you,
there is no way you will be unhappy. Even if the other person takes advantage. The problem is, we keep saying the other person is taking advantage. But we are also not the givers. We are also takers. Therefore you suffer. You may not be a person who will take advantage of somebody else, but not that you are a giver. Therefore you suffer. It is impossible that you be a giver and you suffer. A giver will look at from the other person's point of view. Sacrificing should be your motto. You sacrifice your ego, selfish, self-centered desire, egocentric desires and egoistic attitude and function. Then whatever comes, that also you share and you eat. That, see, in other words, we keep saying we believe in God, we are bhakti in God. Have you ever observed a street dog? It has no back balance. It has no home to get back. It has no health insurance, life insurance, nothing of the sort. But it gets its meal. Yes or no? It gets its meal. And we say we are Kshatriya or a Vaishya, much better than the animals. And yet, in spite of all the stuff lying in our bank, here, there, everything, we still are worried, how I am going to get my meal tomorrow? Will I get it or not? And yet we are calling ourselves as bhaktas. Bhakta means you should have that confidence in the totality, isn't it? When you do not have that confidence in the totality, what does it show? It only shows that you are not a bhakta. You are only at the superficial level, you say, I am a bhakta. Or if at all you do bhakti, you are doing that bhakti to God so that you remain in His good book so that it is not taken away. You either you ask for more, or you pray to Him that what has been given should not be taken away. Let me live for 100 years and these things let it increase. You are constantly begging. A real bhakta should have that confidence that yes, I will get my meal. Because wherever he goes, he's thinking in terms of giving. He has no worry about getting it. And let me tell you, only if you breathe out can you receive oxygen. Going on continuously breathing in. Try it out. But not here, later on. Because it will harass me. And now you just breathe in and don't breathe out. What will happen? Even they say blood donation is good for you. You understand that you will start giving blood, right? See, you can only get when it's empty. But if you go on filling and it starts stagnating, any stagnation is sin, I told you already. Stagnation putrefies. There's a saying, I think it's the Arjuna Goldsmith, I'm not sure. It says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Where wealth accumulates, men decay. The way to receive is to give. It's a cycle, it's a circulation, we need to understand this. If you grab and you go on holding and hold on to your wealth, there will come a time when you will stop receiving. So if you keep on rotating, you will get back. So this is how the nature works. If you grab, it starts putrefying. you start rotating, but if you start rotating the thought of getting it back, then you are actually grabbing it, you are stagnating. Remember that. When you understand how the law works, when there is rain, it goes and fills the valley, not the mountain. So you should be like a valley, acting with humility and constantly giving it, sharing, not hoarding. So if you have been blessed with certain things, use it for the welfare of the world. If you have been blessed with certain talent, use it for the welfare of the world. And then all the other things will add up. You will become famous. Whether you want, you do not want, things will come. Let it come. But let it come as a byproduct. You continue doing that. Your focus should be sacrifice. Yajna.
If you understand chapter 3,
you will understand that life should be underlined by this one word called yajna. Sacrifice. And when we say sacrifice, it is sacrifice of ego. Not putting yourself in front. Remember that you are blessed with millions of things from the time you are born. The more you grab, the sooner you lose things. The more you continue to share, the more you continue to receive. That's how the life works. Water gets filled in the lake and people draw water from the lake. The lake shares it with the people and then the lake receives it more. You understand? So the more you fill, the more you release, the more you receive. Things will happen to you. But understand this and live in that spirit, Jesus. So Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is best in repaying. He is best amongst us who is best in repaying. In Islam, they say there is some amount of percentage you must give back in charity. It is a must. One of the five important things is this. That you must give.
That you didn't have in Hinduism, you know, but how much?
Every religion
talks about it.
It's there in every religion. Every religion only focuses on this, giving.
There used to be this thing called Dharmada and balance sheets earlier, no? And then there was a low density of my father in law talks. Earlier, when you did accounting, you used to have this thing so much for Dharmada in your balance sheet of your company.
Yeah, now what they say, charity.
Yes, but that was a different, it was given as an accounting principle that you take that out and then I think that was removed later. It was a part of your
one column.
See that, the CSR, how this CSR many companies are doing in this spirit, I am not sure. And I am not saying they are not doing in this spirit. But that needs to be thought about. It has become more of a mandatory thing, therefore they may be doing it. But it has to be done in this
spirit.
This spirit, CSR. All these concepts are coming back in different words, that's all. But this is the nature of life. This is the law of life. You can't change it. Right? So he says, he quotes in the book Horace Greeley, he says, the darkest hour of life is when you plan to get money without earning it. Lottery ticket, for example. Lottery ticket is what? I will put 1 rupee. Or rather 500 rupees and I must win that $1 million. Many of these airports, they have this, especially in the Middle East. 5 hundred dirhams, you buy a ticket, you can get a Rolls Royce, or 1 million dirhams, 10 million dirhams, you understand? And so many people buy it. 500 dirhams you invest and you want to become a millionaire. Remember verse number 11. One who eats without producing is a
thief.
Many of the shopping malls are saying this. Just to catch your attention, they know you have this weakness. So what do they do? There is something like a scratch in it. This is a simply scratch. You may need something. You don't have to do anything, you have to scratch. Or you touch, they will scratch it for you. And there are so many people scratching and scratching. You can see that. Right? Now, it must come to you, I do not want to get anything free. You understand? Have I paid to deserve this? Have I paid to deserve this? There are people who don't go and drink water in their daughters-in-law's place. They feel that already they are debtors. This is the culture, this is the attitude you should try to develop. Right? You are already a debtor. Why do you want to take things free? But today, the whole thing is like this. Buy one, get one free. Everything is free and sale. In other words, we feel, a lot of people come back and say, oh, I was very lucky, I got it. There is nothing that you get free, let me tell you. There is somewhere you are paying, somewhere else. You don't realize how the nature sets it on. You understand? If you have taken something here without paying, somewhere else you are going to be losing something. There is nothing that is free in this world. There is no free meals here. But yet, the tamasic mentality is growing. Therefore you find, even politics nowadays is what? We are giving free things. Isn't it? In our place, Tamil Nadu, it has become worse. Now I believe even here they have been introduced to central government, somewhere in it, they are saying that they are going to give free mobile phones.
People prefer mobile phones
already. That's what I'm saying. So mentality is get things free.
Nobody gives
anything free. Please understand this. There is nothing free in life. If you understand these verses, you will have your fundamentals strong. Why many organizations are in trouble today? Even now there is some problem going on in India. And now they are saying CBI is going to investigate all these corporations. Now if you go into the details of it, what has been there? What is the accusation? In what way? They are saying that these guys started the organizations, companies, and became millionaires without even producing one little bit of food. Which their attitude has been to take, not give. So if your foundations are clear, you can have organizations running more than 100 years, nothing will happen. But if you flout the foundations, the corporates in the US, where you send your children for higher education, especially in economics, you send them to Wharton and all these kind of universities. Why, in spite of them having such great universities, still their economy fell? Because many of them flouted the fundamentals. Remember? When you flout the fundamentals, it appears you are gaining in the beginning, but ultimately you will lose. You will come up fast, you go down faster. So therefore, you mustn't flout the fundamentals. And these are the fundamentals, whether it is a family or the corporate or the country. Right? So the, like he says, the darkest hour of life is when you plan to get money without an end. So when government is thinking like that, when people are thinking like that, we should be alerted. You should say, my God, this is dangerous. You understand? To get things, to have that thought to get things. You take your children to birthday party. You take them with a gift. Right? And then the child which is celebrating the birthday, she is ready with the gift to give it as a return gift. You must develop these things, right? The idea is to give, not to take. So therefore, these are fundamentals in life. The day we flout these things, we are digging our own grave. World has only laws, LAWS. If you do not respect them, you will be at loss. LAWS. The law of life is that it should be based on duties and giving, not on taking. If it is based on taking, you are flouting. You will perish. It's a question of time. So therefore, verse number 11, 12, 13, and then even next verses 14 and 15, he's talking about the importance of having this sacrifice, a jnayama. While you do the action, let your action become a sacrifice. Let it be a yajna, not an opportunity to grab. So if you think, then you will say Ishvara Arpana Bhava, Ishvara Prasada Bhava. I do this action as an arpanam to the world, and whatever I get out of it as a result, I will take it, accept it as Ishvara Prasad. If you have this bhav, then you cannot be unhappy even for a moment. Swamiji says in his lecture that no unselfish person will be unhappy. No selfish person can be happy. That's the law. So your life must be very well established on these fundamentals. Right? If you want to do well in maths, you should have the formulas in your fingertips. Right? So these are formulas of life. These are fundamentals of life. You can't flout. If you flout, then you suffer. So what is sattvic, rajasic and tamasic attitude that he's talking about in these verses? Sattvic is
to give without even expecting.
Eating the remnants of sacrifice. Rajasic is
cooking
for yourself and getting back agitation in return. Right? Then tamasic is eating without producing. Today, these are concepts which are alien. If you talk to people, they say, these guys have gone mad because everybody has 5 or 6 credit cards. Minimum. Isn't it? I will enjoy today and pay for it later. If you can't pay, what will happen? I will not pay, it's okay. So in other words, what he is talking here is pay now and enjoy later. See how the whole world is put up, understand? Pay now and enjoy later when it comes. Is what he is talking here. But today in the world,
enjoy.
You enjoy now?
Yes.
I may pay later, I may not pay. That's a different matter.
Enjoy only. It's a fixed deposit, was not very limited withdrawal.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. When you flout the fundamentals, see, even this time I had a conversation with somebody when I was there. You know, when the property went up, and they've been paying their loans. Let's say the property was 200,000 rupees. They borrowed money of about 180,000 and then baki they paid 20,000 or 180,000. They took loan and they've been paying for it. They took 20 years loan, whatever. Right? And they've been paying for it. And when you pay in the beginning, you pay more interest, less, so it's capital, principal. So in about 10 years or so, they've paid X amount of money. So let us say these guys have paid about $80,000. They have still $100,000 to be paid back. By this time, the property went up from 200,000 to, let's say, 250,000. So they are entitled for more loan. They owe 100,000. They can get another 120,000 or 130,000 more. Many of them fell for this generation. They went and took 130,000 so that they can get some more property or something else, right? And then they extended their loan instead of 20 years to 30 years. And then both the property prices fell down. This one, which was 200,000, fell down to, which went up to 250, fell down to something like 150 or so. The other property that they bought also went down. Literally, they are on the streets.
America, they didn't even have to pay down payment. You could just buy property.
So the point is here, they did not study verse 11, 12, 13. Right? This is the point. Shakespeare also says this in his, you know, the play Hamlet. The minister of Denmark, his name is Polonius. His son Laertes goes to France for higher studies. So there, Polonius is giving a piece of advice to Laertes. There he says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Beautiful piece of advice. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. So they neither studied Shakespeare nor Bhagavad Gita. You understand? In other words, Shakespeare is saying the same thing. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. So when he says neither a borrower nor a lender be, what is he trying to say? Don't lend money, don't lend anything. What does it mean? Doesn't mean don't give. When you give, give it as a gift, not as a loan. If you give it as a loan, then in your mind, when is he going to pay back? When is he going to pay back? Is he going to pay back? Then that's what your mind is, oh, I don't even. So he will try to escape from seeing you. You understand? He says, don't you lose friends. So give it as a gift. So he's not saying don't give, he's only saying don't loan. Is that the difference? So along with 11, 12, 13, you can write this. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. So the point is, today everybody says, okay, anyway the world is uncertain. Who's going to wait for another few years to settle down and then enjoy? Let me enjoy today and then tomorrow I may pay back. And therefore, people who live on this sort of things are constantly stressed, isn't it? Then they become slaves, then they become dependent on the job. And when you are working as a slave, you are not in the advantage position. You are in the disadvantage position. This is what is happening. Outside it looks fine, it looks great. But inside you are totally at a disadvantage. Nourish gods, may those gods nourish you. Nourishing one another, may you attain supreme good. Mm-hmm. give your work what comes back as a prasad, accept, and slowly build your life. When you slowly build your life thus, then there will come a time when even the spillover is enough to take care of your life. Spillover. This will look attractive, what is happening today, but it will finally make you collapse. This will look very, very unattractive, but this is what will go steadily. So many people run fast, but they don't come first. They don't have the last laugh. Listen, you must sustain your energy. Then you will continuously run and you will come first. You will come first. So therefore, don't flout the fundamentals of life. Bhagavad Gita is teaching fundamentals of life. You go to any scripture, whether it's India or some other countries, they are talking about fundamentals of life. The fundamentals of life drawn from the lives of people who lived before us. That is what scripture is. When you say Shastra, what is Shastra? Shastra is full of what? People's experience, precipitate of their experience. What is good for us, what is dangerous for us, what looks attractive but may end up dangerous, what looks not so attractive but is good for you. All these things are mentioned in the Shastras. But we don't have any time to study the Shastra. We want to study the Shastra after we are 60. After having lived your life. You go to the fundamentals. That's why they say you need to be acquainted with these fundamentals. Once you are acquainted with these fundamentals, then anybody comes and tempts you. Next time when you are in the shopping mall, somebody is asking you to come and scratch. So thank you very much. I am not going to scratch anything. I don't want anything to get free. Have the attitude that it is better that I have given more than I have taken. In any transaction, you should have given more than you have received. That is why in this country we worship bull. Bull is working on the principle of minimum intake, maximum output. Bull takes in very little for its survival, but goes on working throughout the day. Minimum intake, maximum output. But today people say, nobody works in my family, sir, only I am working. Should be happy about it, not complaining about it. But we go on complaining. Right, if they are not working, if they are. See, now what I say, yes, they are not living up to the laws. Then they will have laws. You live up to the laws, then you will not have the laws. So, bull works on this principle of maximum. Output. Minimum intake. So if you can have that sort of an attitude, your efficiency will increase. If you have too much attachment mentally, then it will build up on your efficiency. Mentally there is no attachment, then there is tremendous efficiency. All these are contributing for your growth. So these verses are talking about karma yoga, which is meant for self-purification. How do you purify yourself? You purify yourself through giving, not through taking. That's what I'm saying. When you take, you are stagnating. When you stagnate, you putrefy, not purify. When you give, you purify. Not when you
take. Remember, karma yoga is for self-purification. And when you have attained self-purification, only then you are qualified to gain knowledge. If your mind is fully preoccupied, you cannot receive knowledge. So karma yoga prepares you to receive knowledge. The ultimate idea is to gain knowledge, remember that. Because only knowledge will save you. Adi Shankara in Atma Bodha says, cutting vegetables, cleaning them, all these are important. But ultimately what is important is fire in cooking. Ultimately, fire is important in cooking. Similarly, karma yoga and all these are important. But ultimately, what is important or what is necessary, essential is knowledge. Because the problem is ignorance. It is not that you are not Atma, you are already Atma, but you do not know that. Right? The problem is the ignorance. If the problem is the ignorance, then the solution is knowledge. But to receive the knowledge, you must be qualified. And that qualification will be brought about by karma yoga. So we must do this karma yoga, function in the yajna spirit, to become qualified to receive knowledge. In the morning, go for a walk, do kapalabhati for some time, then you will feel hungry. Isn't it? You don't do anything, there's no hunger. But you're mechanically eating. Then you feel that, right? So if you give and receive, that's the way to be healthy. That's how nature works. Without giving, you go on putting in, then you suffer. So ultimately, any example you take, it is only talking about this. You have to work on the principle of one,
yes.
Circulating. Understand, it is a circulation that's going on. Everything is a cycle. So karma yoga is for self-purification. But today we are doing karma, not karma yoga. Therefore, karma putrefies you, karma yoga purifies you. So Krishna is saying, go from karma to karma yoga, from karma yoga to jnana yoga, from jnana yoga to moksha. Really? So from inaction to action, from action to yajna, from yajna to jnana, from jnana to moksha. If you are inactive, better to act than to be inactive. Better to be rustic than to be tamasic. But from action, you must go to yajna, means selfless action. From yajna, you must go to jnana, knowledge. And that jnana, when it is established in you, then you get moksha. So the ultimately, what will give you
hope? It sounds so simple when you say it.
It is simple if you focus on one thing at a time. So, in other words, you know, like they talk in airlines industry, you ask them when you are at the airport, which is Delhi? They say, that is Delhi. That is Delhi means if you sit in the flight, it is as good as you go to Delhi. So, if you are doing karma yoga, you are automatically going to attain moksha. So, therefore, when will I get moksha? That means what? From karma yoga, you are slipping to karma. Atma karana. Even if you think that I must attain moksha, even that is a result. Even that karma phala has to be denounced. Like they say, Nike slogan, just do it. Just do it.
nothing else. So from inaction you should go to
action.
Action. From action you should go to
yajna.
From yajna you should go to
jnana.
From jnana you should go to.
So in other words, karma to karma yoga.
Suppose you are already in karma, not in action. So therefore from karma, now you should change it to karma yoga.
That is active.
Yes.
Then yajna will be?
No, no, yeah, there karma yoga is yajna. Karma yoga and yajna are the same.
Okay, then karma yoga too?
Jnana yoga. Means to the extent you have done karma yoga, to that extent you qualify to receive knowledge. Karma yoga helps you to receive knowledge, that's my point.
Okay, so action is karma, then what is inaction?
Inaction is akarma, laziness. Inaction.
Jnana yoga too? Jnana yoga too?
Truth. Truth.
Karma is?
From jnana yoga. From karma yoga, you go to jnana yoga. Karma yoga means yajna, one is the same. Then from that, you will see karma yoga will help you to receive knowledge, that's my mind. If you are constantly functioning this world with desire and activities, your mind is so preoccupied, you will not be sitting and listening. But if you are doing karma yoga, thoda sa self-recognition ho gaya, that much you can sit and listen to the lecture. You can sit and read the book, you can sit and digest it. Then to that extent you will become liberated. So this is the step. So you can't, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you can't escape doing karma yoga. Because you are not somebody who is already there who can do jnana yoga full time. So therefore Krishna is saying, you must do karma yoga. Karma yoga is like doing the kapal bhati, so that you feel hungry to eat. You understand? Just in other words, you cannot develop jnana shuddhi, I mean atma shuddhi, chitta shuddhi without karma yoga. So in the beginning you must do karma yoga. The bulk of your desires reduce. They give you chitta shuddhi. Then to that extent you can gain jnana. Otherwise you are so active, there is so much of desires, you have to act. So he says, when you act with this attitude, when you act with this attitude, then you grow. This is the point. If you say, oh, I've been acting, let me sit and listen, you can't listen. Because you've been doing desire and action. But desire and actions are better than not doing anything. Better than being like what he said in verse number 12. You can be like what he said in verse number 13, the later part. Se vachandhya atma karma. Let them cook for their own sake. But then slowly, slowly, they will start understanding that in spite of all my selfish actions, I have not gained anything. So let me start doing things for welfare of the world. Welfare of the world means what? You produce qualitative product. Keeping customer in mind. You want to charge them this much. If you were the customer, will you be ready to shell out that much money for it? It should be worth it. Keeping the customer in mind, then whatever comes out of it, take it as a Krishna. When you function like this, your mind will slowly become free from the entanglement of this world. Then you receive the knowledge. So remember this whole portion is fantastic, but don't forget verse number 9 which said, any action done which is not in the spirit of yajna binds you. When you do action which is in the spirit of yajna, that liberates you. Then in 11, 12, 13 he is talking about tamasic, rajasic, sattvic. So you must develop sattvic attitudes. We say a small slogan, no? Asatoma sat gamaya, tamasoma jyotir gamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya. What does it mean?
asatoma sat gamaya. Move from asat to sat. Asat means? What does asat and sat mean?
Anjyan.
Asat means untruth. Sat means truth. So you must move from untruth to truth. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya. From darkness to light. Mrityorma amrutam gamaya. Means from mortality, I should move to immortality. From tamas, I should move to rajas. From rajas, I must move to sattva. From sattva, I must move to moksha. Which is even beyond sattva. Let's continue.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.